Okay, we're continuing chapter 14 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. So he had just had that conversation with Cho, do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's back in the Great Hall. Mm-hmm. Morning, said Harry brightly to Ron and Hermione, joining them at Gryffindor table in the Great Hall. What are you looking so pleased about? Said Ron, eyeing Harry in surprise. Quidditch later, said Harry happily, pulling a large plate of bacon and eggs toward him. Oh, yeah, said Ron. He put down the bit of toast as he was eating and took a large swig of pumpkin juice. Then he said, Listen, you don't fancy going out a bit earlier with me, do you? Just to give me some practice before training so I can, you know, get my eye a bit. Yeah, okay, said Harry. Look, I really don't think you should, said Hermione seriously. You're both really behind on homework as it is. But she broke off. The Morning Post was arriving, and as usual, the Daily Prophet was soaring toward her in the beak of a screech owl, which landed perilously close to the sugar bowl and held out a leg. Hermione pushed a newt onto its leather pouch, took the newspaper, and scanned the front page critically as the owl took off again. Anything interesting, said Ron. Harry smiled. He knew Ron was keen to get her off the subject of his homework. No, just some guff about the bass player and the weird sisters getting married. She opened the paper and disappeared behind it. Harry devoted himself to another helping of eggs and bacon. Ron was staring up at the high windows, looking slightly preoccupied. Wait a minute, Hermione said suddenly. Oh no, serious. What's happening, said Harry, and he snatched the paper so violently that it ripped in the middle that he and Hermione were holding half each. The Ministry of Magic has received a tip-off from a reliable source that Sirius Black, notorious mass murderer, blah blah blah, is currently hiding in London. Hermione read from her half in an anguished whisper. Lucius Malfoy, I'll bet anything, said Harry in a low, furious voice. He did recognize Sirius on the platform. What, said Ron, looking alarmed. You didn't say... Shh, said the other two. Ministry warns wizarding community that Black is very dangerous. He killed 13 people, broke out of Azkaban. The usual rubbish, Hermione concluded, laying down her half of the paper and looking fearfully at Harry and Ron. Well, he just won't be able to leave the house again, that's all, she whispered. Dumbledore did warn him not to. Harry looked glumly at the bit of profit he had torn off. Most of the page was devoted to an advertisement for Madame Malkin's robes for all occasions, which was apparently having a sale. Hey, he said, flattening it down so Hermione and Ron could both see it. Look at this. I've got all the robes I want, thank you, said Ron. No, said Harry, look at this piece here. Ron and Hermione bent closer to read it. The item was barely an inch long and placed right at the bottom of a column. It was headlined, Trespass at Ministry. Sturgis Podmore, 38, of number 2, Lavendum Gardens, Clapham, has appeared in front of the Wisdom Gamut charged with trespass and attempted robbery of the Ministry of Magic on the 31st of August. Podmore was arrested by the Ministry of Magic watchman, Eric Murch, who found him attempting to force his way through a top security door at 1 o'clock in the morning. Podmore, who refused to speak in his own defense, was convicted on both charges and sentenced to 6 months in Azkaban. I don't understand why they only sentence people to Azkaban. Like, surely there's something else they can do. Sturgis Podmore, said Ron slowly, but he's that bloke who looks like his head been thatched, isn't he? He's one of the Ron, shh, said Hermione, casting a terrified look around them. 6 months in Azkaban, whispered Harry, shocked, just for trying to get through a door? Don't be silly, it wasn't just trying to get through a door. What on earth was he doing at the Ministry of Magic at 1 o'clock in the morning? Do you reckon he was supposed to do something for the Order? Ron murmured. Wait a moment, said Harry slowly. Sturgis was supposed to come and see us off, remember? The other two looked at him. Yeah, he was supposed to be part of our guard going to King's Cross, remember? And Moody was all annoyed because he didn't turn up. So that doesn't seem like he was supposed to be on a job for them, does it? Well, maybe they didn't expect him to get caught, said Hermione. Could be a frame-up, said Ron excitedly. No, listen, he went on, dropping his voice dramatically at the threatening look on Hermione's face. The Ministry suspects he's one of Dumbledore's lot, so I know they lured him to the Ministry. He wasn't trying to get through a door at all. Maybe they've just made something up to get him. There was a pause while Harry and Hermione considered this. Harry thought it seemed rather far-fetched. Hermione, on the other hand, was looking rather impressed and said, "Do you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that were true." She folded up her half of the newspaper thoughtfully. When Harry laid down his knife and fork, she seemed to come out of a reverie. "Right, well, I think we should tackle that essay for Sprout on self-fertilizing shrubs. And if we're lucky, we should be able to start McGonagall's innate inanimous conjurus before lunch." Harry felt a small twinge of guilt at the thought of the pile of homework awaiting him upstairs, but the sky was a clear, exhilarating blue, and he'd not been on his firebolt all week. "I mean, we could do it tonight," said Ron, and he and Harry walked down the sloping lawns toward the Quidditch pitch, their broomsticks over their shoulders, Hermione's dire warnings that they would all fail their owls still ringing in their ears. "And we've got tomorrow. She gets too worked up about work. That's her trouble." There was a pause, and he added in a slightly more ominous tone, "Do you think she meant it when she said we weren't copying from her?" "Yeah, I do," said Harry. "Still, this is important, too. We gotta practice if we want to stay on the Quidditch team." "Yeah, that's right," said Ron in a hearted tone. "And we've got plenty of time to do it all." Harry glanced over to his right as they approached the Quidditch pitch to where the trees of the Forbidden Forest were swaying darkly. Nothing flew out toward them. The sky was empty, but for a few distant owls fluttering around the Owlery Tower, he had enough to worry about. The flying horse wasn't doing him any harm. He pushed it out of his mind. Maybe we'll stop there. I love you, kitten. I hope you're right there. I hope you have a good little nap. You're the sweetest kitten ever.